What's good? I am back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast. Have some special guests in the building. Vietnam Hip Hop Royalty, Nervous Wreck, and Filthy Rich, the one and only Bomb Shelters. Thank you for coming through, guys.
Appreciate you having us.
All right, then, dog. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
I'm going to do this for, like, hip-hop historical purposes. I want to start a year before y'all two met. Were y'all both rapping before y'all met?
No, I was choking babies.
You weren't rapping?
They had it coming.
Were you rapping?
I was rapping, yeah.
Okay, so y'all meet. Where did y'all meet at?
Ann Chestnut.
So y'all went to Ann Chestnut Junior High together.
He wouldn't give me a fucking pencil. He just wouldn't give me a pencil. I asked him, Paul. I said, can I have a pencil? He looked me right in my fucking face and lied to me.
Yeah. So that's how y'all met. You asked for a pencil and he wouldn't give you a pencil.
That was the first time we crossed paths.
Okay.
That's not really when we had met. That pencil. He was in the same class, and that was the first interaction that we had.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, how do y'all get to the point where y'all start rapping together as a duo? Was it start with just y'all two?
Nope.
It was all terrain. It was the whole all terrain.
Well, see, Nervous didn't know that he was gonna be rhyming with me. I did. Okay. I sat in the cut and I said, yes, one day. And what it was, seriously. To break it
our
down,
friendship started as a setup.
But hey, actually, you got to do what you got to do. I was tired of getting beat up. It was getting to be a problem. But I would sit here and find a way into like the crew. So what I did was I grabbed a card that I had of a producer in the neighborhood, and I bartered it. I just came around like, "Hey, you guys!" After they stopped running from me, and I was like, "Oh, finally caught you! You fat! All right!" And I was like, "I got a production card." And be, you know how hip hop was back then, like, yo, I don't know, we might use that, yo, okay. And so I knew Harrell Thigpen was not going to be able to make that fucking trip. I really did. We had a homeboy who had strict parents. I was like, yeah, his parents are going to shit on his weekend. And boy, thank God they did, because I unfolded my little rap that I wrote the night prior. Right when they noticed that Harrell wasn't coming, it was just, man, well, it's just me and you, Mark. So I guess I was like, well, I just.
So you left all that out. So he lost.
So basically, I just, I got it where I fit in. And I've just been hitting the ground running ever since. It's our Madden.
Tell me about your names. They got any like meaning or any motivation behind it? Will you come up with your names?
Well, names are what people call
you. Like Filthy Rich.
Bossy. Nerve
like names. Sometimes people have acronyms and things of that nature and their names and stuff like that.
First in line to hit everyone right in the cake hole because I get bored. It actually does do all the letters, but no, Filthy was his idea. It was just like a therapist said, it was like, yo, the coolest names ever. He literally called me one day, like, yo, I got dopest names ever. He literally had both the names. My name's Nervous Wreck, and you're Filthy Rich. All right, can we be friends? All right, cool, man. You know, all right, fuck it, man. But yeah, he named us, and nobody else got named by B.
No, how long did it take for you the name to stick with you? I've had people give me rap names before, and like there were some corny names they tried to give me.
Yeah, I went through several names prior to that too, but Nervous Wreck was definitely the one that stuck. At the same time, his stuff, and
they both sound dope.
Appreciate it.
Bomb Shelter, where does that come from? Like just a Vietnam military mentality, or
like... No, we definitely some military brats, and Bomb Shelter comes from Hurricane Fran back when that came through.
Okay,
Fayetteville back in the day, we was in my shed, and we was just hanging out, smoking or whatever. We said it looks like a bomb shelter.
And just like in the movies, it was one of those joints where you go like, hey, next day was like bomb shelter, and just really just hit the ground running.
So that's when the crib became the shelter and all that. You know what I'm saying? Because, I had the house with the studio set up.
And what year was that, the Hurricane Fran?
98.
That was one of our worst ones that we had here in Fayetteville.
Was it 98?
We got supercomputers. This is how old we are. Supercomputers right in our pockets. We're like, no.
We're known for having some bad hurricanes. Like every other hurricane is like a super bad hurricane.
I want to say it was 96.
So y'all basically got the name off a hurricane.
That's it.
I was actually thinking it was because Cass and Fayetteville know that if the enemy really wanted to attack us, you know, the mainland.
Facts.
Fayetteville be like the first to go. You know, they
always say, in the bomb that,
we dropped the bomb here in Fayetteville first. Right. That's why I always like, this is the most Fayetteville name I ever heard. You know what
bomb
I'm saying?
Shelter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I love the brand. You know what I'm saying? The brand is amazing because it is that military shit that so many families in our country can relate to.
Yeah.
It's underground. I mean, it
and somebody said itself. That to us back in the day, too, when we was out selling CDs in Spring Lake. I remember we went into the recruiting office selling CDs in the Army recruiting office in Spring Lake.
Yeah.
We went in there, it was a cat in there. He was just like, damn, y'all, I gotta buy that just because y'all had the balls enough to come in here and sell me this shit at the recruiting office.
Yeah.
And he was like, and this shit is like militaried out. He was like, y'all call bomb shelter. I see the fatigues. He was like, yo, y'all military. I fuck with this shit. Nah. And I was like, damn, I didn't even realize we was military.
Yeah.
I was just, we was just being ourselves.
Yeah.
And not, you're not really realizing what you are at a certain point in life. And then when somebody points it out, you're like, damn, I guess we are that.
Yeah. Well, I noticed when you see all those like people that have bomb shelters, they're usually like militias and militant kind of
preppers.
People anyways. Yeah. These end of the world. And your album definitely had this end of the world feel. Your cover, you're pulling them out. Where do y'all find that hole at?
Well, that's what we brought Jer.
Jer's now, in the house too.
The virtual eyes over here.
Where is that at? Is that a undisclosed that Jer's location?
House.
Oh, that was at his house?
That was at his house on Fort Bragg, right by Spring Lake, in his backyard on the military housing. There's a hole. And he was always like, man, there's this hole that looked like a bomb shelter. He would always tell us.
Wow.
And then we went out there. Jer was our photographer back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he was the captain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how you did. Everybody
he drove the bus mine.
Everybody on the team did multiple things.
And how deep was that hole?
That shit was not deep at all.
Okay.
Matter of fact, it was like a cliff.
Yeah.
So it was like a cliff and you could go under this way.
Yeah.
And it looked like you coming up. So it was not a real hole.
I mean, that was like the icing on the cake, the way the cover was, man. It just
appreciate it.
Pulling them out the. Yeah, man.
The bomb shelter.
Yeah, that's definitely crazy.
No, it's crazy. The wildest thing is, like, you see how the ingenuity was? Like, we saw a hole. We're like, man, it doesn't look this way or that way. We're sitting there devising an album cover. We're doing all the thing I don't see nowadays that maybe I'm missing is just that it's so easy. That the thing that scares me about, not it concerns me about the artificial intelligence stuff, which it has its place.
You talking about like that thing they got out, the rights to Tupac rhymes and stuff like that?
Yeah.
It
confused. The thing with hip hop was it's always supposed to be so organic because whatever your thing was, it represented you. Now everybody, this clone over here could do it. This clone over here could do it. And it just, this generation, and again, this ain't a shot, but this generation, they're not uncomfortable biting, if you will.
Yeah.
And the reason we were bothered by biting was because it was supposed to be your ID card. Whatever your, you know, music was, it was supposed to be your ID card. So
I fuck with that. And I want to say something else too about that picture real fast. Is that, and I don't want to be the cat that every time I talk about it, we did it back in the day. In our time, you walk 6 miles to school.
Hallelujah.
But I'm just saying, like nowadays, you just on your phone, you take a picture, bam, ooh, I just made an album cover, I can send this shit off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just want to go back to my man Jerm taking the pictures. Yeah. And this is a regular camera, not a digital camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we had to send the film off to get it developed.
And you said this was on Fort Bragg, kind of, right?
Yeah, this shit was on Fort Bragg.
This is like pre-9/11 when you could actually drive through Fort Bragg straight to Spring Lake.
Facts.
Yeah.
There used to be no gate on Fort Bragg. You know what I'm saying?
And that's another kind of thing to throw in with like the bomb shelter thing that like how after 9/11 had to just
lock
down the ville and like, oh, now y'all got to drive all the way down Murchison Road if you want to get there.
Yep. But now I was just saying how, you know, you got to send the fucking roll of film
wait
for the shit to get back,
go
through them and see which one looks good.
Because
you had pictures that were fucked up and you can't tell when you take them.
Nobody out or nothing.
You don't know how them shits look until you get them developed.
So and that went from that. A lot of work into just that cover.
Yeah, that shit was a lot of work and it was literal no budget. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy to take pictures at this time. That's what I want people to feel the whole vibe of what we're doing and what we're going through.
Yeah.
It was not easy to develop pictures of yourself at this time. You know what I'm saying? Like it is now.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get yourself recorded on a video camera like it is now. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now we have a collection of those like time capsules. That's what I look at. I got a laptop.
You got time capsules?
I mean, just a digital time capsule, if you will. Where I'm like, we got pictures of all those moments. Like I was taking pictures like a Asian tourist.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. But basically, I got pictures of all the moments, all the days, all the just little minuscule shit. Motherfuckers eating soup and shit. Like, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? I love it because it tells this story. And one day, like I said, he's lightning in a bottle. He's the organizer. But one day when this stuff comes to light, y'all will see it's something like that. It's a good story. That's all. It's a really good story. I'm very lucky to be involved in it and intricately. But man, it's a great story that I think so many people could draw shit from. And if you listen to it, you can either listen to the story or you can see the story. You know, I look just like I did in high school. I mean, I know you don't got to tell me. It's a thing where now we're gonna have to but I hope we're inspiring other cats to do so because they inspire me. Like Black Watch, I'm a big fan of his, and Brian was a fan of his first. I was like, you know, we're cool in high school, but Brian like, yo, that motherfucker kid, yo, that shit is, and now motherfuckers sound more like him than ever. He was so ahead of his time.
I was on the phone with somebody the other day, and I don't know if y'all know Sloan.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Sloan, and Jones, and Sloan was saying that he hopes that, you know, y'all re-releasing the music lights a fire under some asses, you know.
Yeah, why not?
Motivate some people.
No, it has been, I believe, because, like, even cats like Big Face, and you know what I'm saying? Cats is getting active again, feeling it, you know what I'm saying?
And yeah, again.
Shout out Big Face.
Big Face with the Ratchet.
Big Face. I know you're talking about,
Big Ratchet Face. 1.2, God damn it. Actually, 10.26.
Actually battled him on the top 7-7.
Mm. Huh?
Actually battled him on the top 7-7.
Oh, word? Yeah. I think he did tell me that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Yeah.
Yo, and he can rap,
I'm not going to say who won.
Look, I'll tell you what. Big Face can rap, man. Big Face has some...
Now, he had that joint, The Other Side of War, I think it was. That's the track I battled. It was my No Turner backtrack. But this is how I beat him. At the end of my song, I was shouting out a bunch of people from Fayetteville. And those people were calling and would request my song because some of those people weren't even getting a radio play. You know what I'm saying? So they will call just to have their name shouted out at the end of the song. And, you know, and the song, the recording wasn't like, his recording was definitely way better than mine.
Well,
you
know? That goes back
it
to
was
the,
way better than
the
mine.
Quality is one thing that I could rest my hat on. That's why I could afford to be kind of silly or whatever, because the quality that he would argue with me all day about it because I'd be like, yo, just toss it out like a crackhead. Like, let them just see it, man. They got to hear it. And he would be like, no, it got to have the silver back. I'm like, that silver back. And now it's the weird thing is like, it's all people talk about, like, man, the quality. I'm like,
well, back
bitch.
Then,
the
quality, you could get by with the quality not being top notch if the music was just dope.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I mean, you gotta have good quality.
Yeah.
And there's no really excuse, I would think.
There's no excuse.
A barcode. He was very adamant about a barcode. I was like, man, dude, just sell him the CD. The barcode. It was his attention to detail that we get more props for now than ever. And it's crazy because if that could have just, we're looking right now at what that little bit of inspiration did for somebody that wanted to be inspired. You know what I mean? When we look at J. Cole and all that. So it's like, I'm wondering what's the when I see Passport Scoob and Hood the Mayor, just other cats that I fuck with, Sunny the Star, you know, kind of biased or whatnot. Yeah,
BTS.
But even when dealing with 30, you know, God rest
in peace to 30,
all day.
Since he was young.
Up South 30. And 40, it's like when you hear how they take something that, you know, just hip hop, like, oh, you did that? Well, I'm going to take that and put this with my this, and then bam, and it's, you're just watching this evolution. You know, so I'm glad for that part.
Well, y'all the first rappers in Paradise on the consignment. I remember y'all were the first local consignment ever bought. I remember there being like maybe Bomb Shelter and Big Ski.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know if we was the first. Or
that. No, it had to be. It had to be Uzi D. Or fucking.
Is that how y'all were y'all selling them?
Character assassins.
Were y'all selling heavy hand to hand back then? Yeah, that was really even back then. That was really super heavy of a thing, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Dog, I'm glad that he's back in the saddle to the degree that he is in, because I'm telling you, the world have really drained me. Where I just got tired of my hip hop pom poms, like yo, man. To the point, I just started drinking the Kool Aid. Like yo, fuck it, you know, rapping. Hey, I'm 45. Don't nobody tell me that I can't rap, because I would just that's all you would hear. And now I'm looking at the beauty of it. Like, dude, now my crib's a fucking shambles, but there was just a certain. It's a vibe that he and I have from growing up around each other. And it's a mood that he's in that I build off of. So once he's in, let's go this direction mode, then I'm in, well, shit, we could do this a long way on the trip. We could do that on the trip. And that's how the whole formula comes together metaphorically. So now I'm watching, I'm more aware that it's a different process when it hits the scene or whatever. I'm watching how it's going to start inspiring these other motherfuckers, both young and old. And I'm hoping it has some lasting effects. Like, just more podcasts, more building, especially, and I know somebody's going to try to be funny out there, but seriously, especially with young men, just building. You know what I mean? Just really enlightening motherfuckers and just seeing what happens when nobody's, you know, kind of messing with the environment. And there's been some beautiful things lately.
Now, on the food, shelter, and clothing, were y'all, like, going for this end-of-the-world, like, futuristic vibe? Because it was definitely, like, some end-of-the-world feel on the music.
1 year left.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Buster, you remember Buster was trying to gaslight everybody? There's only 5 years left, Buster, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was, if you think about it, that was the year 2000.
Yeah.
So if you remember, during that time, that was also...
What album was that?
Food, clothing, and shelter.
Well, the Buster part.
Extinction level.
Oh, extinction level. Okay, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if you remember during that time, 99 going into 2000 was a thing too, because it's like, it's 2000. It's the new millennium.
People thought the clock wasn't going to go back.
The Mayan calendar and all that. So I'm just saying, if y'all remember that?
No.
The year 2000 was when the whole world was going to end.
Yeah. No, I remember 50 Cent had that good-ass fucking
internet
song.
I thought they said the internet was going to crash. Or
that
something
too.
Like that.
Dude, yeah. I heard in the club.
Once the internet crashes, the world is
over. Yeah, of course, yeah.
I heard in the club for the first time when that shit happened. And it was I will always remember that feeling, because at that point, this is my nerd shit, you had never heard like a East Coast artist use a West Coast, you know, funk clap, if you will, and it was so wonderful. I remember looking over at B, because I was hearing the shit, because they were playing in New York at the MTV, whatever.
What song
in the club. Oh. And when that shit played, I remember I couldn't stop talking about, like, yo, B, this must, you know, you got a girlfriend and shit. Like, oh, this must be in the club. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, that's 50 Cent? That was I promise you, that was the main highlight. The Mayans said we're going to die. Let's do that snare. So just that is, it's I just like the fact that it's just the funnest fucking ride ever, man. We're in the middle of the coolest part of the ride. We're old dudes, if you will, OGs that actually proved ourselves. So now we can't fuck up a legacy. Although we might be putting on a Wizards jersey, I don't mind. You know what I'm saying? Don't remember that feeling? Jersey. Paul, you remember that feeling where you saw him picking up that Wizard jersey? You're like, no. Yeah. Fuck. Now I can't. And then Kobe. And then LeBron. So
don't accept the Wizard. Hey. And put your 23 back on the 23.
He didn't play the last game.
Oh, you're talking about Jordan.
He didn't even play that bitch like this the last game and shit. That was the worst shit ever. Man, well, but my point is, real rap, and this is going to sound silly, but I do hang my hat on it. Fuck y'all. I'm a high school dropout. I did a classic. We both shot backwards fucking 3-point shots, and we made them. And so, like, now it can only be, you know, better. I don't have no real goals. I just want to make something that, you know, invigorate somebody else, and so on and so on. It's happening, so I'm not used to
it. I got a question for you, Paul.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anything, Bone Shelter, besides Food Clove and the Shelter in the EP?
The compilation.
And Fair Non-Bones. Nothing
no.
else. That's good. That's good to know because
I have a wire.
Shit,
yeah, and to be honest with you, like I'm not gonna lie. As soon as I who texted me it? I think Stranger the Great, friend of mine, texted me it. And as soon as he texted me, I mean, I went to it and I was like, damn, I was just like nostalgic, like how good the album still sounds. Wow. You know, even in this time in this era, man, and it just really sounds good, man. And another question is, that song, I heard that. Is that a Scarface movie sample?
No.
It almost sounds like that Scarface Sosa scene part. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I never thought about that, but no, that came from a video game, which I actually, crazy, Metal Jacket to keep it a buck.
Metal Gear.
Metal. Yeah. That's what I said. Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Damn. Metal Gear Solid.
Blow your brains out on stage one.
But yeah, nah. Anyway, I don't know if I should tell that story or not, but yeah, I'll tell it. Fuck it. Try to reach out to Konami or whoever made that game back in the day.
Okay.
And try to get clearance. Like, I knew nothing about clearing shit. So is this. Wrote them this heartfelt letter and they hit back and was like, please cease and desist using this. I was like, fuck.
Sincerely, Clarence.
Right.
Hey, what the?
There was no like, hey, we appreciate you writing this. It was just, please cease and desist using this song.
You know what? I was like, fuck. You know what? And Lil Jewel, that's them begging for doom, 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 doom. You remember when Vanilla Ice was trying to explain what happened? No, theirs goes doom, 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 right. doom. Mine goes doom 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 doom. Yo, so yeah, they brought that on themselves. We're gonna just tell you a little.
Y'all think the lack of samples is part of the reason why the music is not really what?
What do you mean? Where's the lack of samples at?
I don't know. To me, it just seems like a lot of this. These
I think
music
there's an overabundance.
You think
samples.
So?
Man, there's so many samples. Nobody should ever run out of samples.
There are. Five computer screens around us right now. Holy shit.
What I'm saying, the lack of samples to use. I mean, like, people not sampling as much as they did in the 90s is what I mean.
Okay.
Like, I know there's plenty of
samples. Well, that's not, funny. Yeah, is it?
Because, like, but, I don't know.
Are they not? I think people are still sampling more nowadays.
Okay.
Because even, like, a lot of your hits nowadays is just samples of shit. Know what I'm saying?
But old shit. I'll tell you
that's how it's been.
Is it just they using them different or something?
No,
or?
I'll tell you what I've learned.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely some creative fucking filters out there nowadays. Yeah. I listen to some shit and be like, damn, how the fuck he freaked that shit. There's some shit out there.
But dog, the thing is, it's like I think people, and I don't know the ins and outs, but I know a little base. People need to research what it might happen with their set because people act like that their hearts are broken. At the end of the day, you got to remember you're using somebody else's shit. Now I'm all for it. I love Sam. I love Sam scratch and all that good shit. I can't scratch save my life, but that's a whole other story. The thing is, you got to like kind of, in so many words, rent this sample from this person in the future. Sense. If you're going to make money off of it, just so you know, I still would say, don't let that kill your creativity.
It's the same thing with the era we're talking about.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you can take a picture fast and get your album covered down, and you can clear a sample in 5 minutes on the internet if you want to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But back then, it was like, I can't clear this shit. I got to put this shit out. I'll just deal with it later. I'm going to fucking press these CDs up. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, if you put that out, they can instantly find that shit. You know what I mean? Like, they know who's using this shit.
And the distribution is so different now. The value of distribution was like, it was like gold back then. And now it's like shit. Because, I mean, even, you know, I do marketing promotions online. Spotify was at 60,000 songs a day. And then one day I looked at like Spotify uploads 100,000 songs in a day. I'm like, that's 700,000 in a week. Mm-hmm. There's no way they can, who can listen to that much music?
Exactly. They sat there. They sat there, overloaded everybody. But also, what they're doing, or my conjecture that they're doing, they are going to buy up so much material that by the time they be playing music 20 years from now, they ain't got to pay Prince or none. Well,
oh yeah,
they don't got to pay none of the artists.
We're in the era now where everybody's selling their catalog.
I wonder why. and they don't realize they're gonna take all that shit away. We're gonna be like, oh my god, can I just hear some Gap Band? They're gonna be like, all right, I give you a little bit of Gap Band, $20. You know what I'm saying? Just throw your shit around. Anyway, but the point is like I see that I'm not good with business, but I can see that right there a mile away. They're gonna basically make the value like what it is, you know. Right now it's gonna go up through the roof when nobody has it. And people like B gonna be like, ha ha, I happen to have 1236 chambers. Yeah, but I mean that's dope. Also, motherfuckers is watching. Get into collecting records, man. Just do something different like that. Some shit you told yourself you were gonna do. I remember buying comic books like this. I buy out the dollar store. Yeah, all the shit you wanted to do when you was a teenager. Follow me, kids. As you said.
Have y'all heard about the lawsuit that Black Sheep is heading up?
I say it later, man. Yeah.
I saw Dress talking about it. That shit was ill to me.
Well, basically what Spotify did is they didn't want to pay out the majors so many royalties. So they figured we'll make a deal. We'll pay you out less royalties, but we'll give you equity in Spotify. So they gave, I think it's Universal, right?
Okay.
They gave Universal and their artists equity in Spotify. Now the equity has went up, but the artists ain't getting more money. So Black Sheep is actually heading up this lawsuit, which is probably going to turn into like a class act lawsuit and whatnot, where Spotify is going to get sued, I think, for about 500, 700 million, you know, because they basically, and that's the thing, there's no way they can afford to pay out all this money, man. These rappers are making so much damn money. It's like, Spotify can't keep paying it out.
Isn't it like 1 cent, whatever, you know, like a cent a stream or something like that?
It depends on what platform. It really depends on what platform. Like Spotify is around like $4 per 1,000 streams. But you get into like Tidal and Napster, they're more around in the $9, $10 per 1,000 streams.
So what is Tubi doing? They're like Blaxploitation.
Tubi?
Like,
Tubi is more of like a movie streaming platform. Movie streaming. Let's get into Vietnam Bombers compilation. There's a name you kept saying earlier, The Therapist.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out.
I've heard of him.
How old was he then?
Aha! Well, you'll be right back.
No, he had been 17.
17?
Yeah. High school, right?
Yeah.
18.
And who met him first? You?
We both met him the same night. Time? Yeah.
But now think about it like this in context. Nerve is the producer, so if you want to get in a crew in our era, you got to go to the head of the class, so to speak, and that was always the producer. You had the RZA. That's the BRZA.
So. Now, either one of y'all teach him how to make beats, or did he already know how to make beats? You taught him how to make beats. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that was like, what, ASR 10 days and stuff like that?
That's what he ended up getting. I was on the MPC at the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I don't think there was no ASR.
Did you see
Chuck stole it by this?
You see, and for most people don't know what a therapist is J. Cole. Did you see that what he is now then at that age? I didn't think I would get it.
And that's the whole reason that I always be like, I didn't know it would get this big, because I had no idea that, seriously, it's gonna sound silly, but I had no idea that the world was ready. Because the world, I remember vividly, right after he had moved, I'm out there and I'm going through some shit, and I'm in the parking lot across from FSU, and I heard somebody say, "Hey, Spider-Man!" Because I had a spider. It died in the back of my head, but it was like,
I remember that. Yeah,
yeah, they were saying it like they were going to hurt me. They said, "Hey, Spider-Man!" No, bitch, I knew. So my point is like, I just wasn't ready for a world that was going to actually be tolerant to understand the whole different is you know, unique and better, or eccentric. Different is eccentric. So people got it. And when I noticed he was walking out here with both his pants legs up and his socks all the way, I said, okay, the youngsters are. And he's been doing it ever since. Dog, he's the amalgamation, jokingly, of me and him. Look at it. He's a biracial child. And I swear he got some best parts of me from studying and the best parts of me. And just left all the bullshit. When I look at him, I'm like, I kind of get an idea. Like, oh, damn, I could have probably done that. You know what I mean? Because he's a very fucking calculative person like he is. I don't calculate. I just, you know, demonstrate or devastate, whatever. You know.
And y'all went to Westover too, right?
And I went to Westover first. He bit me. You know how that go.
And Jermaine, where did he went to Terry Sanford? Because his childhood house is like actually right down the road here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Forest Hill joint, which I didn't know till recently. So my sister picked me up one day. It was like one Thanksgiving. It was my sister, my brother-in-law. She's like, you know, J. Cole's house is right down the street. I was like, huh? She's like, yeah. She's like, you know, told her husband to take me there. And it was fenced up. I was like, oh, damn. I was like, okay, I didn't know that. They had it fenced up. I was like, why is it fenced up? She's like, I guess she said people was going on top of the roof and shoot music videos and stuff like that.
Well, they were. Yeah. They was doing the same photo shoots and all
that. Yeah, photo shoots and everything. Shit. So did y'all always keep in touch with him?
Always.
Okay.
No, that was his idea. I mean, now he ain't stealing nothing. Yeah. But that was B's idea. He was going to go back to his crib or buy his crib.
So y'all already knew beforehand what was going on. Like, because when I first heard Therapist signs with J. Cole. I heard J. Cole signs with Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. I was like, who the hell is J. Cole? Like, I never heard of J. Cole. And then I seen the picture and I was like, oh, shit, that's the Therapist. Yep. You know, because I met him one time.
A little while to realize.
Yeah, one time. I think it was the gas station and whatnot. He was taller than me then.
No, that motherfucker looked like he dunk on God. I'm proud that he gets taller every time I see him, yo. I got a beanstalk in the car. So that motherfucker is tall. His whole crew look like ex-basketball players and shit. Just a bunch of tall.
I think somebody had a question about someone in the Vietnam bombers joint. I don't even know if I want to ask it.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
It says D.A. Baracus.
Yeah, I don't even know if I want to ask the question the way you asked it. My man wanted to know, was he real?
I love this.
That was the question. Was he real? I was like, did you want me to ask that? He's like, nobody seen his face like Lord have mercy.
Oh, shit. Like, that shit is some hip hop trivia.
It was like, yes, this is real. Because he was dope as hell. I remember him on the Fed and Obama's compilation. He was dope as hell. I never seen him.
Yo, D.A. Baracus, do you hear this shit? That shit is crazy.
If I told you who asked this question, I would laugh. Because he was actually on the Fed and Obama's compilation.
Jones.
Wow.
Yes.
Jones is the only person I know.
I was like, do you really want me to ask this? I was like, I've never seen it, dude. Is he real?
I appreciate
it. I heard he was in New York.
Yeah, he came down here around Christmas.
Yeah. He's a real person.
Yeah.
He used to live with me at the shelter.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a real person.
Okay. He was part of Entree, right?
No, he did parties. He had strip club parties. Young entrepreneur with a heart on, obviously. But still, just strip parties. It was crazy.
Shout out D.A. Baracus.
Young entrepreneurs.
He's a real person.
he's a real person.
He's on Instagram.
Okay.
Oh, my God. He don't answer the phone. I mean, in theory.
Does he still make music?
No.
I don't think he does. He makes films, though.
He just makes visits to Fayetteville to make his best friend cry. Anyway, what was we talking about? Bengals, right? Well, you know, I don't know who got the coverage better, but I would...
Anyway,
shout out D.A. Baracus.
Shout out Mr. Jones too for the question.
Shout out Mr. Jones.
But he said it, and you was wondering it too, right?
What
about D.A.
Yeah, Baracus? I never seen him before.
Okay.
Yeah, I never met him.
There's other people.
Oh, you
didn't wonder if he was
you
real
before.
I didn't wonder if he was real, but I was just like,
you
I never known
about you like
him.
Your apparition.
I never know
out of everybody on fan. What about Snipes?
About
have you ever seen Snipes?
You talking
about
light skinned?
No, see Tony Blazin is Snipes.
Tony Blazin.
Think about it.
No.
He's like,
nah, so I don't think I've ever seen
Snipes?
Who was the
Tarantino? It's like Voltron when they got
the
skin
track
or the princess.
That's Open Eyes.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever met those cats. Mm. And I love that track. Mm-hmm. I just love that sound. It was just like it reminded me like
too.
Some Timbo.
That's
like
why it's
Timbo
on the album.
Open Eyes.
True. Born to live, my boy was born to die.
That compilation was in the Source, right?
Which one?
Yeah. What section was that?
Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You know, I got some music. You know what? Go ahead. I got some new music from him, too. If you ever want to, on the way out, I'll throw it at your window. Break the glass or something.
Okay.
But that way you can
hear KMS?
Uh-huh. Man, Sean Beeman, our mentor, was like over there doing workshops on MCs. Bar Rescue, I call it. For real, we was up in there like building cyborgs Mike said, man. And so, like, them dudes, Coupe DeVille, KMS.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Oh, Shakir.
Or Zef Lesson.
I always forget Shakir.
Shout out to Zef Lesson.
Sun Tzu.
He recorded a few of my tracks back in the days.
Shout out Zef. We were just talking about Zef earlier.
As the earth hangs in the balance. On his shoes. That nigga always had to do balance.
What was the process of y'all getting into that Independence Day back then? Y'all had to, like, mail it in and stuff like that?
That was shit. Shout out Bob. That was Bob Wire.
The Bob Wire cat? Okay.
Have you ever seen him?
I've seen him before. Okay, yeah.
Pretty Arabian Night, nigga. That's my dog.
No, that was Bob Wire. You know what I'm saying? His doing.
Yeah, Bob.
Me and him went on a trip up to NY together, but it's, you know, it's his connects he had. And just made that shit happen.
Now, would y'all say Fayetteville has probably just as much talent as any city you've ever seen? Like,
when they stop trying to be like them?
Does Fayetteville have more talent than
just
any
as
other
much
city?
Talent as any other city you see? Whether it's a New York, or
Fayetteville
LA.
Got more talent than any other city in the world.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. What do you think as a collective, as a whole, holds the city back somewhat? Like, individuals do certain individual things.
I mean, really, the only thing holding anybody back is themselves. There ain't nothing wrong with the city. That shit ain't holding you back.
Gravity.
Especially in this internet era, bro. Like, come on, yo. You're only holding yourself back.
Because I know, like, people have this love-hate relationship in Fayetteville with, like, J. Cole, where they act like, you know, he should just somebody on.
I heard.
And, you know, being from Fayetteville, born and raised, Cavefield Valley Hospital, that's not an issue to me. I think he did it right by putting on a cap from Charlotte, because I felt like Charlotte should be our hub for music in North Carolina, because it's the biggest city.
That's a good point.
You know, it should always be the major city, quote unquote, that should be our number one hub. And Fayetteville is technically probably third or fourth biggest city in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, Fayetteville's favorite. It's like, I went to a show one time with BTS was out there. And I don't know if you remember a cat named PK, Wise Entertainment.
Yeah,
PK Wise Entertainment. So we were out there in Greenville, and we go to this club, and you drive into the parking lot, and they make you get out the car, and they searching, like, to see if there's guns underneath the seats, guns underneath the trunk, glove compartment, everything. Well, after the club breaks out, something falls. Sonny the Star gets into a situation with somebody in the club. As soon as they get out the club, things break off. Fayetteville cats, like we always do, we always got to shout, and Vietnam 2-6.
Absolutely. Got to.
And we always got to, like, swing
it's
our
world star.
We're so boisterous.
It's our world star.
It's like, we always got to do that.
Motherfuckers got to rep.
Somebody's got to, 2-6, Vietnam. I'm like, yo, and we get sprayed up by mace and pepper spray, and I'm like, oh, man, screw this. And it was crazy, man. It was like, fail, but we just got this mentality everywhere we go. And I seen us at a show one time actually get punked. Y'all wasn't there, so we probably wouldn't have got punked if y'all was there.
Shit, we were the first ones in the car.
That Josie Moe and the Durham Boys came down one time, and
to the Ville,
the spot that was on Skybo Road. Over there near where Chick-fil-A and all that is.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they used to do the open mic.
The shit where we did the parties back.
Yeah, right. I forgot the name of it.
You talking about the one with El Japanese at? Or the
506? It was kind of on the left side of Skywalker.
Oh, shit. What was it? The Bee's Nest?
No.
It was the Bee's Nest.
It was something
level
else
three.
Afterwards, too.
No, it was level three.
We never used flavors, never used images.
No, that's the one. Oh,
the Skate Zone.
No. Across the street from Chick-fil-A on Skybo.
You're going to Skybo, it's on the left. Sending the
across from Lowe's and shit.
Lowe's.
Oh. What was that shit called? Damn.
So Durham Boys came through there and shut it down. And I saw get pumped.
Escape?
Escape. Goddamn, Jer. Jerd does that all the time. Grew up on the ground.
Could have chimed in a little earlier. Sit back and watch you play yourself. He just said,
turn back into germs. Damn.
So y'all always work with a lot of different cats in the Ville, right? Who all mainly y'all you work with? Like character assassin cats too, right?
No,
I'm, was y'all ever in competition? Was y'all ever in competition with cats?
Yeah, friendly competition.
Like, competition with everybody.
Yeah. Him, yeah. I'm a,
and I remember y'all used to do the skate zone joints. That was the, behind the flea market, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm still after my homeboy son. Yeah. Ki, show ass, boy. My beats together. Anyway, but seriously, it's, I love that. It's just a sharpens metal, and stabs and.
What was the other question you just asked? Though? My fault.
Oh man, I forgot.
Tangent, man.
There's something you asked after the one he just answered.
I don't know. This so what's the future plan for y'all though?
Man,
now, y'all been recording new music this whole time, just piling it up.
Actually, I'm gonna give you an exclusive. We're starting a country band. You heard it here first.
Come on.
Are you serious?
Snake Oil Joe and Daniel Boone.
And you said you producing now?
I've been producing. It's just
I thought you
good.
Said you didn't start producing to that one album.
What? Which
one? Mobb Deep Infamy.
No, real rap. Like, it was my inspiration. Okay. But I've always made beats. I just wasn't as good as he is. Same way that Mobb Deep, I believe, is. Like, they both probably could make beats, but one decides to just kind of stick to it a little bit harder. He has a deeper love for it. I like the passion of the actual beat. Like, one thing I learned while making beats, it can showcase your emotion. So while I'll be going through my shit as my little therapy, I'll make a beat and I can listen to that shit like a year later, and it actually conveys emotion. Now, if he can help me turn down the snare, be great. But, you know, he won't. So, sorry, y'all. So I'm beat.
So would you say you're like the White Diamond of Fayetteville?
Wow. Damn, that beat my Stand By Me, hip hop Stand By Me. Like,
I never really made beats, that and that's one thing I always regretted. Shit. I never got into. So I always was impressed with
right about
people
now.
Who could make dope beats and have the same level of rapping.
KRS showed us,
you know, because sometimes people will make okay beat, like the Eminem thing you're talking about. I've never really been a fan of his production ever since Dre. Not to take away from him lyrically. But if I don't feel the beat, that's it for me, man. I'm a productions first guy, you know?
Well, are you more like a lyrical assassin or
a deadly MC?
Back in the days, I would like micro machine it. Like, I was like a micro machine kind
of. Oh, you're Eminem nowadays, huh?
But I didn't know how to, like, control it. You know, I had to get constructive criticism. Like, cats would tell me, like, you be micro machining it, but every song ain't
what
meant
does that
to
mean?
Be. Meaning I would just go in and just rap it.
Okay.
I would just go in and rap. Because the guy that got me into rap.
So you was a lyrical assassin.
I guess you could say, yeah. I would just go in and just da 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 da. Yeah.
Fruit Ninja on the track.
Could be off beat and everything. You know what I'm saying? It was just da 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 da. You know? And then people would be like, yo, man, you know. You micro machine it, but sometimes some beats are meant to be massaged or, you know, whatever. You ain't got to try to kill every single beat. You know, because the guy that got me into rapping, he was a cat that would recycle everybody else's rhymes and put them together and call them his own.
Do we know
him? No, you would never know.
Hey, you know what's so crazy? Think about this. Everybody got some technique like that.
Yeah.
Ryan would either write somebody's right, like, and then they'll start writing.
I used to write,
you know, like
it would be like
shit.
Slick Rick, Slick Rick, this cat, this cat, this cat, and it would literally be the exact lines almost.
Yeah, wild.
Now, I never used to spit them and call them my own, but I definitely would write them down just so I can learn them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, that was fun too. Me and my cousin Quandre used to do that. We wrote out all the words from 3G High Rising because this bitch can write.
Who got you into hip hop? I listened to rock and roll first because I lived in Panama for like age 6 to maybe 8 or 9. There wasn't no hip hop in Panama. Maybe like one LL Cool J video, and it wasn't enough to win me over.
Jingling Baby? Are you serious? He danced in the
It wasn't. It wasn't one person for me.
Yeah,
it was a group of people, and I literally had just got to Germany. I think it was 1983, possibly 1984. And I'm walking, I live off base. I'm not in military housing. I live off the base in Germany. So I'm in a German housing area but there's other American families living there.
No, that's how it was in Panama. It was a Panamanian military base. But it,
so,
it was,
like, I'm walking with my family, my mom and dad and my brother, and my dad is showing us our new apartment.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking through this area, because you had to park in a park house and walk to your apartment. So you had to walk through, like, a park and all this shit. And it's literally, like, kids outside breakdancing with a boombox. And I was looking like, what the fuck is going on? You know what I'm saying? But I was intrigued by the shit. And I'm walking up. They, like, in the park. Then I get to my building. There's another set of cats breakdancing right beside my building and shit.
You
so
know
I go upstairs, drop my shit off, and I ask my dad, can I go back downstairs? And he said, yeah, go ahead. And I went downstairs and was hanging out with the cats that was breakdancing. And then over the next coming weeks, I started breaking with them. And then that, and the first rap shit I ever heard was the breaking soundtrack.
I'm hearing a lot of people say, Herb said he got into breaking first. Like, a lot of people saying they got into the breaking part first. And you're really kind of confirming why Germany's the second biggest market in hip-hop.
Absolutely. You just said that earlier, too.
Because this is 1984, 85. And this is like, hip-hop is a baby.
Hip-hop is as old as me at that time. I was born like 79. Of kids doing that shit in Germany in a housing area. In a German city. You know what I'm saying? That shit.
You from Germany, too? You was in Germany, too?
He definitely lived in Germany.
Okay. And Mr. Jones stayed in Germany too.
It's crazy.
I got stuck in Panama. Stuff. I was deprived of that. So when I came back, it was Def Leppard and Motley Crue and stuff. And then I heard on pop radio. I was listening to pop radio because all the rock stuff was on there. And I heard, we got our own thing. And I was like, what the fuck is this? What the? We got a one thing. It was that. And I was hooked. I was like, yo, what the fuck is this shit? It was Heavy D and the Boys, man.
And that was the first thing you heard.
First thing that really got me, like,
okay,
I said, I have to pay attention to this shit right here. All right.
So and, you think there's a song that brought all of us home?
And I think
hip hop, because mine was Jennifer taught me.
I don't know, but for me,
De La Soul.
Like, I didn't have, I only had one black friend at the time. I lived in Panama. There was no, you know, I hung out with Panamanian kids, and I worked for a Panamanian dude that, like, chiseled, carved things in wood and stuff like that, you know, as a little kid. He would, like, make hearts in wood and chisel it and stuff like that. And Panama was great for me because I saw true poverty.
Excuse me.
I didn't see no, like,
excuse me.
I don't know racism or anything like that. It was just enjoying life. You
but
know,
see, that's
you got a, jungle in the backyard, you got tarantula, snakes, banana trees.
Well, you're a military brat.
Yeah, I was a military brat. I was exploring. My stepdad didn't want nothing to do with me. You know, he, as soon as he said I do, that was it. You know, it was like, you on your own, kid. Figure out your own way. You know, so it was Heavy D and the Boys for me, man.
And so it turned into a father figure. It did that for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be no, I don't know where I'd be today without hip hop. I think I would be dead or in jail. I don't think there's anywhere else I would be.
It did give me hope. Remember, I told you I used to sit in the dark. We went to FSU and I saw this rapper that didn't take himself seriously. At the time, every rapper took himself seriously. And this was the one rapper that had freaked it in Korean and then stopped. Like, let me get back to rapping. And I never heard that before. All the time, it's either you're hardcore or you're, you know what I'm saying, silly and shit. And when I saw that, that's what spoke to me, that moment, particular moment. So imagine seeing that same gargantuan character, because he probably was still eating carbs or something, and this bitch was like the same. He was like, I'm small, so I'm probably looking up at him or something, but he looked like he was the same size as this tree, and he had a baseball bat, a metal baseball bat, and a purple aerial assault jacket and shit, and an afro. And again, this is when we had the boxes, and that shit was that was crazy for you to rock a damn afro. What are you doing? You gonna look like Mr. Bookman or something like that? I know this because everybody used to call me that because I didn't have a. Anyway, the whole point is that like this motherfucker was so like a superhero to me. Remember when I saw K-Solo? And I said, oh, Solo, like a girl. I was like, hey, so K-Solo. He bumped me and shit. I was like, Solo. Just like, hey, he was like, what? I was like, so just it, I love that situation. Remember, and we heard that the Hit Squad was about to break up or whatever because some things happened. And I didn't understand that that's the type of things that could happen in this magical world of rap, rap.
You heard about Leaders of the New School when they used to tour. Busta and Charlie Brown used to fist fight before the show and finished the fist fight after the show. Brown was mad because he wasn't getting as much shine as Busta.
Yo, Busta hates me. Hates me.
Have y'all ever had difficulties like with the groups and stuff? Because groups always could be difficult. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Like, we had one album, Paul.
I mean, next question.
Oh, that's cool.
Yo, but at the end of the day, I suggest anybody I really do. I can honestly say this too, because I really didn't think about it. My mentor, we're working it out. Sean Beeman, he put me on to this about 2014 and 15. And I would just watch like the world that we created. And I'm talking about like basically you guys created the world that taxpayers and everybody created have forgot to reward themselves. And for some reason, his dad was cool enough, just like Earl Unger, to allow us to find ourselves. You know how some parents like, find your ass somewhere else to find yourself, you know? And these people would be so cool to let us nurture and evolve. And dog, I saw that we all are just like missing time. You know what I mean? And I don't have the answers, Sway, but it's just we're missing time. If you make time for it, I promise you it'll be like a girl that you're in love with that you're mad at kissing. You're like, oh, shit, all right, I mean, cool. And then before you know, you're like, all right, well, fuck it. That's how I started writing about the last 3 or 4 days. A level that I was trying to make it to, because as a duo, you're always thinking to yourself, like, this motherfucker got better than me. I mean, because that's what keeps us going. But then it's like, am I whack? Because then I can't pull myself, you know what I mean, pull my my weight and whatnot. So that it's the fun challenge of that. And really, it's all in your mind. And I want other old motherfuckers to realize you're old, but just market to older people. I can push a button now. Like if it involved me having to go out to get your record, yes, I am 45. I'm not doing that shit. But if it involves me just doing like this, so it just people start trying to appreciate music.
There was a movie called Grumpy Old Men that was a hit.
So for real,
there's a market for that shit.
At the end of the day, it's just a thing of I really feel like it's our time to take the reins and just own this shit and let the younger people have their things because they're about to be our age and they're going to have their younger people.
Who's some of those younger cats nowadays?
So we leave a legacy.
That y'all like that's out there.
I mean,
shit. Corday?
Corday's cool. I fuck with Corday.
I don't listen. I'm going to tell you real rap.
I listen to PFG.
PFG. Who's that?
Pretty Face Gangster from Fayetteville.
Oh, I thought he was talking about PF Chang.
PFG.
Okay.
I've never heard of PFG.
But we'll put you on. We'll put you on, cuz.
I fuck with him. I fuck with
I'm Passport slipping on School. Who some of these new cats are.
Passport School.
Hood
the Mayor when he passed the controller. Super Mario Brothers.
You know who I liked? I thought he had a dope voice. Was that he was P-Fire.
Yeah, whatever happened to him? I've heard.
Yeah, I loved his voice. Yeah, this.
Well, that's what Hood the Mayor kind of Hood. It seems like every time in Fayetteville, all these like these things go in cycles. So now you're looking at the different bomb shelter. If you want to know, was 30 and that Josh Streaker. My homeboy used to tease me about that shit all the time. Be like, oh, look at y'all replacement, son of a bitch. He's better than it. It just at the end of the day, I love it, man. But I hate it because you know how you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And I didn't feel like I was ready for the things I've come in contact with. So hopefully I can take you on a journey. I got a
question for you.
Yeah.
And you. Shout out P. Wise, because he's the one that asked me this question. But if an alien life form came here right now and you had to explain to them what hip hop was with one song, what would you play?
Oh shit. Damn.
I'm sorry, me. Main course by Ball Shelter. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, sit back down. All right,
that was quick.
Man, that's like a tough question.
Not me.
I don't know, man.
I could talk.
I have the same answer as P. Juicy.
Biggie. Stab me.
That shit is the epitome of hip hop. Yeah. The shit that he's talking about, the beat, all that shit, bro. Yep. His voice.
Mm-hmm.
That song is hip hop.
Look, I know the most gangster nigga I know had came down and tried to explain that song to me. He's like, "Yo, you never heard that shit?" This rip. He was like, I never thought it could happen. This rapping stuff. I was too used to smoking gas. And my thing is, Rip, he rarely has, right? I was too used to smoking rats and stuff. Don't do mice. But it was just the fact that he was admiring that motherfucker. And Rip was like going crazy over that line. I never thought it could happen. This rapping stuff. I thought it was a lazy line. Of course, I know it's a classic line now. I was a very, very sad rapper in my day. I can
appreciate
it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think America will ever, in our lifetime, be at a point where we'll really need them bomb shelters?
Hell yeah.
You think that's close? That's anywhere near?
Oh.
I mean, you got the thing going on, Russia, Ukraine, no
people. Doomsday like preppers. There,
you know, we're in a society where everybody's walking on eggshells. Did we not come ultra close
with the pandemic shit, you know what I'm saying? When that shit first popped off, heads thought that was it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I never really did.
You never thought, man, shit.
No. And I think that's only because I got hit by a car 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh.
And it's changed. You know, it's just changed the way I view things in life.
If you get ran over and popped up in the air, I'm not trying to be funny.
I'm more like fearless, like a honey badger and shit now, you know.
So just if you're asking, what do you think?
I didn't really fear it at all. And I never been.
I'm talking about the bomb shelter thing.
Do I think we're close or near? I think we're nearer than we've ever been. Because of the way this we've like went backwards in society. We went so backwards.
When so many things are letting go.
It just seemed like we was at a good place.
So I mean, how did we go backwards?
I don't know. It just seems like we was at a good place.
Devolved.
We've like Barack Obama's president. I felt like we was at a good place. I mean, my mom went out, voted first time in her life, Barack Obama. Voted first time in my life, Barack Obama. Ever since then, man, it's like we got, that's why I was talking to somebody about this. We were talking about Kanye, you know, like I fear that what's happened to Kanye is going to leak into the music. Like they're not going to stop with just censoring endorsements, they're gonna go further. Like when he decides to drop new music.
So yeah, if that's the you way know, you're coming at it, yeah, we definitely close. You know, they're definitely like, able to control.
We're in a place where we're more censored than ever. You know, like Luke. Mm-hmm. Luke, shouts out to Luther Campbell. Luke, I mean, he fought so hard. You know, for this whole freedom of speech, non-censorship,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, now it's like. I've been kicked off of YouTube for things and TikTok for things and, you know, misinformation or sensitive, you know.
So it issues. Has to be, it can't be nothing crude on YouTube and.
No, you got to watch what you say nowadays. If you talk about anything dealing with like election fraud or vaccinations, you got to be careful and stuff, mm-hmm. You know. But it's not
but
even just.
But you can go viral.
I mean, you can go viral. You can go viral off
vaccination. All right.
Anything that's controversial nowadays.
Yeah, my thing is when you hear that whole algorithm thing or whatever, I'm wondering where is the world going now? Like, are we just running behind this computer? Now we got AI. I know y'all have seen the robots because I send them to everybody that I'm friends with because I'm looking like, yo, they got robots that not just going to grab you. That robot's going to work your ass. It's got like this.
Well, think about back in the days, you know, nobody dropped the album every year.
Right.
nowadays, I mean, you look at a guy like NBA Youngboy. I don't, you know, I'm not a fan of his music, but I think he's the smartest dude in the industry.
Wow.
Okay, he's number two stream behind Drake for 2021 or 22.
Well, who he kill?
Okay, so Drake is number one most stream, NBA Youngboy. Then you get other names below him, like Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, Kanye West, you know, and the list goes on. NBA Youngboy is not more famous worldwide on a scale than Taylor Swift and Lady Gaga and Kanye West.
Does that mean he's just touching more hearts?
He drops a music video every single week.
How? I thought he's in jail.
Even when he's in jail, he was dropping stuff. These cats are dropping stuff in jail. They drop, and that's the thing. He understands that I'm going to get so many views per video. And that's why now it's everything's only good for like 24 hours. That's why when you hit me up, you was like, you know, you was like, yo, I see you dropping the content. You got a couple of tips. I was like, the best thing to do is just pump out a shit ton of content.
I thought he was brushing me off. I was like, I said, oh, okay.
It doesn't necessarily got to be music. Because that's the thing. We can't, back in the 90s, man, you could spit the 16 and you could get signed off of potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nowadays, you better have about 600,000 subscribers on YouTube, or
but this is my thing. Nobody's
followers. And
how are you doing that?
Established.
How can you do that? That's
what?
The biggest question
how
I have.
Can what?
I totally can understand that, but I'm like, how do you do that? Like, well, they have to have a way to get that those 10,000 subscribers. Like a friend of mine, he goes with the money route. So like, you know, with dreamers. And let's say doubters. Those are the businessmen. Dreamers are the ones like, hey, man, just do the music, man. So basically, you got the doubters that are sitting here. They have a way, a route to get through that shit. They've made the vessel that you're using to sell the music on.
It's
all that
really
stuff.
Only two ways now. Shit ton of budget, like Murray, which that doesn't even totally work.
He's going to have to pay that back, right?
Well, yeah, you still got to pay it back. And when you know, you check out the numbers, they're just not what you would expect for a YouTube channel with that many subscribers.
DeVille's rejects.
And partially is because he doesn't pump out enough content. Because now you got to be a reality TV show, you know, for the mainstream, as a mainstream scale goes. Independents, even Benny the Butcher and them, they're putting their whole life out there.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, you know, and that's the thing. They don't.
But is it at a scheduled time?
Hear, oh, can we spit the hot 16?
Is it scheduled time? Is it this?
And they face constantly over and over again.
But is it scheduled timing that these things? Because I used to hear, man, when it comes down to podcasts, you have to do it at a certain time.
Well, if you're talking about just social media content creating, you should be dropping every hour.
Right.
Every hour. If you're talking about like podcasting. I mean, there's dudes that are dropping 3, 4, 5. Vlad's uploading 7 pieces of content every day. So he gets about 1 million streams typically every day just based off of uploading those 7 pieces of content. And then you got all the old content. You know, and then they're monetizing everything. Instagrams, TikToks, Facebooks, your YouTube channel. Then you count in merchandise, you know. Shows. I mean, look, they had no shows for well over a year. And these rappers, DaBaby was killing it, making a shit ton. Because COVID time was even better.
Yeah, I watched because
everybody, what else
my favorite
doing?
Comedian.
Content. Nobody's going out. They was like, yo, don't go out for 6 months. Don't be out in the street. You know? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of some old end of the world kind of when you start like locking us down.
It is Skynet, dog. Your money's not gonna be worth
nowhere.
Your money's not gonna be worth shit. The healthcare, I've been trying to get healthcare for the boy. I just turned this conversation very, very I've been gone. Call my physician. He don't tell me.
So
that I
gotta to say that bomb shelter is like way before its time.
Yeah, I knew that shit.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? Nonfiction Futurama. Like this,
y'all on this like fiction album?
Huh?
I want to though.
Future, like y'all was on this futuristic stuff. The sound had this end of the world. You know, the cover
You know what? It was weird because it's like, I know for a fact when we was writing those songs or whatever, that was the era where we was in our 20s, so we were trying to convince the older folks that we were not crazy, and our music is good too. And it's just, that's why I envy the kids now, because they have this great platform where they can actually relate to their pops. Be like, man, I hear my homeboy, he talks shit to his kid about the motherfuckers he listened to, and he listens to some of the people that his son listened to. It's just great because it's such a good talking point. Like, even right now, for an awkward person like me, like, I have so much trouble socially. Although, in these settings, I seem like I'm the life of the party. Tell. Nigga, I am so unlikable. It's ridiculous. I mean, I sit at the house like, it because I'm entertaining. I'm not like, and so when I sit around these circles like this, I feel like I have a fucking porpoise. you gotta watch the other, anyway. Dolphin, purpose. But
living your purpose.
Thing is, live my purpose. And basically, I feel like it is so, it's so great to just fellowship with y'all brothers and just tell y'all about this hip hop.
I heard y'all gonna be dropping that Vietnam Bombers compilation.
Where you hear that at? Tony ass, see? Germ, this is what the fuck I'm talking about. I heard
through the grapevine that y'all gonna be dropping that one too. Y'all got a time frame on that yet? Or
no time frame yet. Definitely trying to have it out this year though, for sure.
You have to go through any kind of sample clearances or anything with it? Or?
Not after I get done with them.
Definitely got to go through that, for sure.
And y'all had a lot to do with some of the other songs, too, on it. Because y'all basically got just songs from other people on there, right? I know the Mr. Jones one.
I mean, every song I was definitely affiliated with, either production or rhyming, except for, like,
the Mr. Jones one, I think.
Mr. Jones.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not executive producer. I swear to God, I'm finding out so much shit right now. Okay.
And so what's the process? Y'all probably going to drop the Vietnam Bombers compilation, and then y'all going to start releasing the new stuff.
You know what it is? You can't customize fate.
Yep.
Well, what he said.
And it's going to be like Paul's digging
it out. That's definitely what it is.
Yeah, single at first, and then or
first is going to be my solo album.
Okay.
Nah, I'm just playing. But nah, I am working on some solo shit too, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm working on some shit.
Yo, I mean, when
it goes back to the content, we just put shit out. Filthy got solo albums.
That's what I'm saying.
Too,
like, at the end of the day, one thing I love from the rock genre that I learned was sitting just in my car crying a lot. It's like these motherfuckers have different groups. And I swear to you, like, one of my favorite people, Keenan James, Maynard James Keenan, you know, from Tool. Lucifer, he got his Tool, he got the other shit he does. And he does has a wine joint. But it's like, I feel like, I don't know why, because RZA tried to put us up on it. It's like, why would you want to contain your brethren's creativity and shit? They could only make you better. But we got caught up, I feel like the industry, not us, but I'm talking about just the whole hip hop, it got caught up with just that. It started to do this thing.
I mean, who's doing
Cisco,
that?
Method Man, huh?
You talking about that era? I mean, it's not really frowned upon now, though.
No, that's the great thing. That's what I'm saying. And that's the dopest part is, like, when you're really doing that, like, you look back at how many times people, like, when I think it was a big thing when Kanye West had RZA do something on, you know, it's fucking ridiculous. But at the end of the day, it was so fun to just hear RZA do something with Kanye.
Yeah.
Reason, or like, why y'all took a while to, like, release the album on, like through Spotify or whatnot?
Oh, shit, going
was
living.
It like sample clearances and things of that nature?
We had to get subjects to rap about, so he was out here
talking about, like, the ones the ones y'all just released.
Yo, honestly, I've been wanting to put it out for years, but I was always trying to set it up in a certain way. You know what I'm saying? And it just...
And the world was changing, like, rapidly.
You didn't want to just release it. You wanted to
wanted the people to know the story and, you know what I'm saying? I wrote a movie and all that type of shit. And I was trying to have a movie come out, and that's the soundtrack to the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I had all these ideas, but shit just takes so long to come to fruition.
Yeah.
So we was finally like, fuck it, let's just put it out. And then we can still work on the other shit, but at least the album would be out. You know what I mean? People have been wanting that shit.
No. Years. What it is, we require... shout out Chris Lighty, rest in peace. We require a person to grab the low end theory from us and run out the door while we're like, quit playing, and drive off, and then go ahead and put the low end theory out because we're overthinkers. That's the gift and the curse. He's going to make it perfect. I'm going to be like, I'm going to have so much shit on it. It's going to be like, not movable. but it's jam packed with shit. So as long as there's somebody that knows when to kind of come in and grab that shit out of the oven with us, we good. I'm always make shit because that really is just what I do. Yeah. I mean, not even saying like I do it like that. Like, no, I try to kind of try everything besides rapping, drawing, coloring. But it's just fucking.
So, I mean, shit, to keep it a buck with you, bro, you getting a real exclusive too. This year is going to be Phenom Bomber's album. There's going to be a new Bomb Shelter album. And then it could be another new Bomb Shelter album, or it could be a Nervous Wreck album. Or
yeah, we got shit for album. Days.
Like, bro, we loaded. Just know that shit. Bomb Shelter got some shit in the Bomb Shelter.
I'm going to go to AMMO. I'm going to drop that ember on my lip. That was woo, fuck all that up. But yeah, word up.
We got
man.
Some ammo.
Cause and really, we just it's friendly competition. We just want to aspire, be inspired, you know. Not always gonna be wherever we're at, but we're always gonna talk shit.
Do y'all feel like y'all are like a big part of hip hop history?
Yeah.
Like some people would say, you know how people always say, like not like you know, there was Rakim before Nas, or like you can't really tell the J. Cole story without telling the Bomb Shelter story first, right?
I'll take it. I'll take it.
I mean, I guess it just depends on who.
I mean, when you Google, I Googled Bomb Shelter today, and J. Cole pictures were popping up like crazy.
Yeah, remember Jazzo?
Yeah, Jazzo. Yeah, I've taught him before.
Oh, good, because other people don't, and that's crazy. So that's why I'm like, I don't mind. He keeps. I think everything worked out the way that it works out because luckily, me and him are so egotistical. We won't allow somebody to kind of be the only way in. It's like it never dawns on me like that. So like when I'm looking, I'm always thinking, you know, if I'm looking like, oh man, he's doing this, doing that, I'm always looking like, all right, motherfucker, I could, because that's just how I think. I really don't. I understand that he came into his own and all that, but I have my own too. Yeah. So I'm good. I'm just happy that now people got something to kind of celebrate and a little benchmark to kind of shoot for.
You've always been a quiet one. You seem like you're always. No, thinking of the next,
always
the next move, like you're on your Dame Dash and stuff.
Always,
yeah. He took our CD and politely put a coffee cup on it. I'm sure. He said, "Yeah, I take it." Yeah. I know he did. I know he did it. But I mean, real rap, man. I think that
this is something a lot of people don't know.
What
we spit for Jay-Z before?
Did y'all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was that at?
Man. She was in Charlotte. She was in Charlotte.
Been to Akon's house.
I spit the wackest fucking verse ever.
Was it a freestyle or was it?
It was a
written.
I wish we would waste a damn opportunity.
Does
like
anybody
that, yo,
freestyle nowadays?
They should, but I'm just telling you, like that, we couldn't do that.
It's definitely a rarity.
Yeah, it's like all these people that like said they're freestyling nowadays. There's no way none of them are freestyling, right? All
right.
Yeah, freestyle just means spit a rap these days. Freestyle means spit a written verse. That's what
that what it really means? Kazi, I thought I always meant.
I'm just saying that's what it means now.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Kazi went the fuck in on us. I'll always remember that because he was freestyling. I said, come on, man. That's how you say you're getting beat, but you said, come on, man.
This man can freestyle. I cannot freestyle. You know what I'm saying? I'll admit that shit. I can't freestyle.
Oh, I'm going to tell you real rap. Look behind the curtain. I get it from Blackwatch. It's one day I was like, doing like this verbally outside, and he was like, "Yo, nobody's battling you, filthy damn." And next thing you know, he goes, "Yo, you a louse? Y'all grab up the bleach and douse." And it's like, took his soul.
I'll never forget his fucking opening bar. The man said, "Filthy, yes. Rich, no." Yeah, murdered you. Whatever he said.
It's a slow flow. And
I did a lot of work with Black Watch.
Yeah. Actually.
Was that one of y'all's favorite cats really around here?
I would say.
I remember he had that 21st Century album, I think it was back in the days. Yeah, that was probably.
It was just a good mesh. You know what
I'm saying? That was one of the better albums in favor.
Yeah, I feel like we had a good mesh when like my crew linked with his. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Which is funny because
and it's also like Izzy Nice and Irv and all that. All the motherfuckers.
And Irv is
fucking nasty.
Character assassins and all that. So everybody's like a derivative.
That's it.
And I really feel that it all encompasses the Vietnam experience. If you lived in a neighborhood, everybody in this crew is somebody that you would meet in that neighborhood. That's just like in the other little crew I was around. You got doggone KMS and freaking Coop DeVille. Coop DeVille is the atypical dude from Brooklyn in North Carolina. You can smell the Italian icy on him as soon as he just started, yo, man. And he'll break his sister's heart, the heart, and just cool motherfucker. But it's like you got him, then you got Quinn. That was like the sport dude. He's all about sports, about it, you know? So you got all types, and I feel like we're just about, therapists used to say this to me, real rap, his exact words. He goes, yo, I just feel like you're spitting quantum physics. That's one sentence away from relating to everybody.
You always call him the therapist?
Yeah. It's a, you know, I call that germ. I could be standing in front of his mom, be like, oh, I want to call you your nickname so bad, but I wouldn't dare. But man, it's like me trying to do that. Your germ in front of your mom. She looking like, she wouldn't?
Well, I call him germ.
Well, my mom is petty.
I do ask for your real name when I call on the phone, though.
My mom changed her name when we was 18. Remember, she said, JB, call me JB.
I don't know y'all had your socials set up. I wasn't sure if y'all had socials.
The Bone Show, the Instagram and Facebook have both been there for a while.
Okay.
But the Facebook page been there way longer.
The Pornhub joint, it's not. Don't even check it out. I'm not even on that shit no more. So.
But I mean, when I say a while, I mean like what? 3 or 4 years for the Instagram.
Do y'all do anything on TikTok at all?
I don't be knowing what to do. I keep hearing people tell me to do it, but
it's different. I mean, people be talking about, you know, China's tracking, but Facebook's tracking, Twitter's tracking, Google's tracking. They're all tracking. The one thing I know about TikTok that I can tell from personal experience is the only platform where you can't bot every aspect.
And that's
bot, like, okay, like if you go to Instagram, if you take an Instagram account, right, you could buy likes, you could buy followers, you could buy comments, you could buy all these fake numbers. When you get to TikTok, you can't bot these dance challenges. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like the first social media platform that you can't bot every single aspect on there.
What do you think the best one to monetize your situation is?
YouTube. I recommend YouTube. I mean, most independent artists are using YouTube as the number one hub for everything else. Mm-hmm. YouTube, you know, leads to all other roads, you know, because nobody's really breaking nobody on Spotify. Spotify is not looking to break artists, you know, like even if they
YouTube's
do pick
been
you
breaking
up.
Artists forever.
And then, yeah. Wow.
It's like even if they pick you up, they're going to put you on like a rinky dink Spotify playlist. And they'll put you on there for a short period of time and that's it. But if you're not getting on like Rap Caviar,
what is Rap Caviar? I hate when people do this.
Rap Caviar is basically the number one playlist on the planet.
Word.
And Spotify owns this playlist. And it's the playlist for all mainstream rap music and whatnot. And it's kind of how they started breaking Murray's record, because they got Marshmello co-signing.
And that, what is the deal with Marshmello?
Marshmello is like some DJ that does like EDM, and he's got like 50 million subscribers on YouTube, which is 2 times the amount as Drake.
So, like, he did that, though. He didn't buy those.
I think what it was is the people that were invested in him also, like, managed Marshmello or something. So, when they would drop the video from Array, they would have Marshmello go and comment on the video. So, that would already boost because Marshmello's co-signing it. And then they're putting a ton of ads. So, then they put him on Marshmello's playlist. And when it gets traction from there, then Spotify will take notice. But, you know, Spotify is like FM radio.
Yeah, and so the payola is just basically, what's the translated?
Spotify has more payola than FM radio, but this is the thing, you can't navigate around it, just because you got Spotify's list, and you know they're not just opening up the doors for any and everybody. Then you got the major label list below Spotify, because everything's levels to the shit.
Right.
So then you get to the major labels, and if you're not signed to the major label, they're not putting you on the list, right? Or if you're not paying the major label a shit ton of money to get on the list. Then you get down to these independent playlisters. None of them got no influence because you can't engage on Spotify.
So is it like a big jammed up hallway?
So it's just everybody has no choice but to really get bots if they want to get any kind of traffic, because you can't bring no influence to the playlist because you can't engage on that. You know?
See, Jerry, look what they did to your shit. Look what they did to hip hop. Look what they fucking did.
Y'all gotta roll soon. Y'all gotta roll soon.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Okay. Okay. Anything y'all wanna get out the way? Like social media shout outs.
Help. He has us hostage.
Y'all said we have a title for the new album.
I do.
You gonna wait?
I'm okay, putting that out yet.
Okay, Untitled.
It's fine.
Yeah. Titles.
How many tracks you thinking?
Probably 10.
10? That's about a good mark. Too many people like put like 25, 30 tracks sometimes. And,
Can we have skits again? I don't know. Y'all did have some great skits.
Yeah, y'all had some great skits.
Even therapists took skits with out there to fame and shit. Hello, this is T-Flame. That was fun.
Y'all gonna have a lot of skits on there probably now?
I mean, we'll see. You know what I mean? We already still have some skits in the stash, so I don't know. We'll see.
This gonna be a typical like bomb shelter, like I mean,
I don't know, man, because I'm
20 years later. I mean, people change and evolve, and
I wanna do We Are the Champions video, but remake Double Dragon. But like double,
did y'all do double music champion videos for the first any of that never first time? Never shot no music videos. No.
I did.
Are y'all planning on doing any for any of these songs?
Yeah, we had somebody wanted to do one of the joints for us. So it to me, that's a big, even if it's one person, to somebody to take interest in stuff that we worked so hard on years ago. It's like, I'm very fortunate. So shit.
Yeah, if y'all do one, man, Champions is definitely my joint, man. I just love the way it just, I mean, like right when it drops.
You talking about a sample that they'll try to beat us up over?
Is that a sample on there?
I'm just being a dick. Play it.
Yeah, I love the beat. I just love the flow, the way it comes in. You know what I'm saying? The energy. Y'all always kept that energy, man.
Yeah, thank you. Learning from the best.
So all your social medias are just Bomb Shelter, right? B-O-M-M Shelter.
Instagram is Bomb Shelter. Facebook is Bomb Shelter and something else, but you can just search Bomb Shelter and find us.
And y'all said y'all got a YouTube, too?
Yep, YouTube.
And what kind of content y'all putting on the YouTube?
It's got one of the shows and then our talent like show content. And then it's, you know, it's just posts, you know what I'm saying? Regular posts, pictures, shit like that.
And what's the plan for shows in the future?
You know, all that's coming with the albums, you know what I'm saying? So
okay.
Yeah.
Really pop it off.
That's what's up.
So you still
keeping with a lot of your old connections and stuff like that through the years? And
absolutely. My team is still intact and all that.
Now, how many members y'all had total all terrain?
Wow. I never counted them. Like,
what is it? Like y'all group. Two, Bob Wire, D.A. Brock is still part of it?
Yeah.
He's real. He's real, damn it.
All terrain.
Cole considered all terrain when he was there for some album? Is he still considered all terrain?
I was supposed to executive produce his album. We would have just got that shit done right now. Would have been like last week, like, oh man, fire now, me.
I don't want to ask a bunch of Cole questions, but do y'all have any like music with Cole or any future plans with music with Cole?
I mean, yeah, I got shit with Cole that was on my mixtape. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a couple of unreleased joints too.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, I got joints with Cole.
No, he don't know Cole. He don't know Cole.
I heard he actually stays in Carolina now.
Yeah.
I mean, not disclose where, you know. But I always thought he stayed in New York because you always see him riding a bike in New York.
Oh, shit.
He's like one of the most humble rappers ever, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm very proud that he got it before a lot of his peers got it, because I see that they're all getting it. Where it's like, it's wrestling, man. Like, I'm good at wrestling. Don't take me to the Olympics. I can wrestle. But at the end of the day, just know that I have a character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm a real human being with real vulnerability. He's something else. Anyway, but seriously, I'm a real person with real feelings. I have real views. But I don't mind putting those things to the side and trying to entertain motherfuckers. That it makes me feel great as well. But just realize, like, you know, I get fucking tired. I don't know where I was going with that. I just cut it out later.
He's definitely one of the greatest ever, right, Cole?
No, seriously.
I would say he's really the top three for the last decade or longer.
He really sets a tone of maturity. That's what I was saying. I lost my thought. But he it's amazing. I look up to him now. You know what I mean? Just like, just give him I mean, these motherfuckers, him and him. Like, these guys are the grown men that I wanted to be. I wanted to be a white dude with a hoodie. It's a long story. But the thing is, they nailed it. And I'm more in awe of that. So when they see little wordplay that I came up with sitting here going, oh, frap the tap or that, I'm like, I'm looking like, dude, you feed kids, you know what I'm saying? And you know, do manly things. So I just want to try to push for hip hop to kind of nudge and kind of just give a role modeling of manhood out here. Because some people ain't going to say shit, but there's a lot of people that just don't know what to do. And I feel like if they had that mixed with the rap shit, be unstoppable.
You say the manhood, you think like they're attacking our manhood?
Yes.
It's
overcorrection is all I'm saying.
Make men soft as Charmin.
Let me tell you what women say. For the last three women I've bedded have joked men like it was not ever the 90s. Like they don't, I promise you.
Bed women?
Yeah, totally. She says, yeah, but you know, you wear them down, binoculars, poetry. Anyway, it's really like, they laugh at us now. Like this motherfucker that it's a long story, but this bitch was giggling, saying like, yo, and he started crying. She was laughing at the dude that she's telling me about that she did something mean to, and he started crying. Women, we're not crying because we're hurt. We're crying. You ever see somebody like, oh my God, I'll fuck you up. Oh my, we even tried to educate cats. I'm not joking.
So was this motherfucker, you? Was it you that was crying?
Yeah, but you know, it's semantics. But it's like he had this song. I said he was on it by himself.
Don't
but
tell stories about
it.
My
was
shit.
It was a song called "I'll Strangle You," and it was superb. He walked a tightrope of just explaining a situation and just throwing it out there. And it was so great because back then we weren't thinking like, "Yeah, we're gonna try to." But dog, whenever I hear people talk about therapists, they go, "It's like I could be myself," and he just doesn't care what other people think. We made a song called "I'll Strangle You," and really argued it. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, hold up, wait, hear my side of the story, and be happy right there with him. Like, so
that I feel like some vault shit.
Yo, it was just fun, but because we've always, for some reason, and I get this to him, we've always been a certain level of response.
Who I made it for heard it though, and was on some. You was mad as fuck.
Yeah,
it was.
You always going with a killer instinct.
Yo, man.
I don't think I've ever heard y'all do like songs that just really just like, you know, hard tracks.
It was designed to make somebody with power or a record deal, or whatever, go, all right.
Y'all just go for a certain sound every time? Or
influenced by fucking EPMD and Wu-Tang and Mobb Deep. Like,
you listen to the first four songs.
Era, you know?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Seriously, you listen to the first four songs of EPMD, Business Never Personal. That is what we were. If you listen to those first four, that shit is like a train ride and shit. You're like, God damn.
That whole ride never stopped.
y'all looked out sound like EPMD.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like, that perfect
mix. I always felt like they were a blend of underground hip hop and mainstream just because their name, Eric and Parrish Making Dollars. And at first, I never knew what it was.
Right.
You know? The EPMD, because I think I was late to the party on EPMD. I don't think I was on the EPMD until about Crossover.
What? You see all them damn fisherman hats all over the world. Man, that's...
Yeah.
Jerry, your cousin changed the hat
when,
wear
that's
of
when
America.
Back in the days when you used to go buy bootlegs from the flea market right next to the jewelry joint on Rayford Road.
Dude, it just... Like whenever I say that and that hard-to-earn Gangstar, that summer changed me. Because I had to listen. You know, when you're a teenager, you listen to something to ad nausea. Yeah. So I would just sit there, and because he made me a little mixtape or whatever, just played the songs or push record while he was playing them on a 12-inch. And, dog, when you would just hear, I don't know how, I want to let the cat out of the bag, right? But the way that EPMD shit, like, hit, it really touched the way that I wanted to kind of hit the world. And that's what I feel like, what's his name does? Food, Clothes, and Shelter. Like the way it comes in, it's like we are, just like anybody else, we're trying to hopefully impress the people that impressed us. That's all it was. And, so B is on his second mixtape. And we all got mutual friends, so we go up there, and he's pushing his mixtape, but just having fun. He's with his cousin, Eric Sermon, and having a ball. Eric Sermon has his CD in his hand. I'm just sitting over there. He just said to me, I'll never see it. It's this funny picture. I'm looking with so much jelly. You can see the hate in my eye, because I'm out here like trying to convince people to rap and shit like that. This motherfucker done met Sean Price. He got Eric Sermon like, yo, take over here. Yo, take care of my cousin. And I'm just sitting there like, yo, so that, let that be a lesson to you. If you do make the decision to, let's say, do the right thing, right? And a lot of people do this, and I'm not joking. Understand something. They don't give awards away. And you better be very sure when you throw away opportunities or whatever, they don't give awards away for sacrificing your opportunities. I know we all secretly, that the nice guys think that they do, they don't. And it gets really hard. So just keep that in mind. And you know, just love everybody all you can. You know, just let you know. But
it's a story for another day.
Boy.
Do you think we always had, all of us had like the food shelter and clothing mentality before this digital age?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, I remember a time when they didn't charge you for water. There was no bottled water selling. There
wasn't no bottled waters.
There was a
charge you for go, water, but it just wasn't.
You want a bottle of water? You go to like the air pumps. They didn't charge you for air, and then overnight it was like
Mexicans. Air, oh,
and now we're bottling up water, and it was like okay, that it seemed like that whole. That's when like that food shelter and clothing mentality just started kind of going away with society, you know, because nowadays everybody's just. That ain't enough for most people. Is that safe to say? Food, shelter, and clothing. That's not
food,
enough.
Food, clothing, and shelter.
Oh, my bad.
Just going to correct you because I said it wrong shelter. Five times.
My bad. But it's still not enough for most. Shelter. Still not enough for most people.
Minimalist.
That's not enough for most people. Yeah. Food, clothing, and shelter is not enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we call it that because it's the essentials. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The essentials. Not all the bullshit.
You think most people could just live off society with that, though?
I mean,
you think we're like in a spoiled?
I want an RV. Why can't Pastor have an RV?
I mean, we're probably living in an alternate reality and shit anyway at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, a real rap.
Whatever goes, just goes.
When, about 2018, I was telling Nervous that I really enjoyed the idea of an RV or a camper. And he got it for the first time like in
like
months.
Just to live in or whatever.
Okay. See, he's saying I got it. Like, okay. I understood what he wanted to do.
Yeah, it's called minimalist. There are people out there, schoolies or whatnot, and these people live off the land or they
schoolies?
Live off.
That's what they call them.
Mm-hmm. And they learn that from him.
Converted school buses and shit.
Okay, I never heard of that. Okay.
And that's
turning into RVs or whatever they call schools.
And dude, he put a shower. He put a shower inside the tour bus or whatever. It took his family cross country. These are the things I would like to do in life. It's like I understand like mansions and shit like that is, you know, I guess what it is. But that is the thing that I don't know how to get to. I can wrap your ass up on the table if I really try. I can't raise a kid to save my damn life. I mean, real rap though. And I feel like I'm part of a demographic that's out here.
Yeah.
And they're not going to admit it. You know, I'm just silly.
I actually like them houses that are built out of the tractor trailer hitches.
Exactly.
I like those.
Yeah. I like not a tight space, but, you know.
But what Filthy was trying to say was that he fucks with, like, the van life and shit like that, living out of a van. And people was, his peers was frowning upon that.
Okay.
And I was like, yo. That shit is ill. Like,
yeah.
That lifestyle is ill.
Free, it's freedom.
Don't frown
right?
upon that. You get to be free. Yeah. Like, if you can make money on the internet, you can live in your van anywhere in the country and be free as a motherfucker.
Yeah, a lot of people always told me that they always, like, get on me, like, why you don't, you know, I'm a hermit, man. I'm Team Hermit.
Right.
I'm in the house working all day and I go to get food, but, like, that
you
should
can
be,
do this
that should
RV.
Be my lifestyle.
You
that should that? Be, like, yeah, I
if
should
you
be.
You work
in a
from
van,
home, you can do that.
Grabbing a dog. Yeah. Grab the van and just go. You know what I'm saying? Hit this city, hit that city.
I used to love
take
that.
Take your podcast on the road.
Yeah.
I've always envisioned that.
You heard it here first.
Paulie's
so people Paulie's
were frowning on you for that. People were frowning on you for that.
Dog, they call me. I mean, there are people that are going to say a comment right now. Just blow it out your ass. But they'll call me crazy because I'm saying that all the time because I don't want a house. I want that because I like the idea of being able to get up and go when I wanted to.
Well, isn't everybody crazy that won't like something confide nowadays? Yeah, we're all crazy, right? If we won't.
And that's wild because we had
that's why when he told me people said I was crazy. That's why I was like, that's when you knew that shit was ill.
Yeah.
People was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and oh, billionaires. I mean, this might not be true, but I saw that billionaires, they said Elon Musk and Kanye in better days. They said they don't have a home.
But isn't that just the hippie? That's the hippie movement, though.
Think about it.
It's not nothing new.
You just go anywhere you want.
It's just reinventing. It's like reinventing the wheel. That's all it is. It's, you know, faded out. It's popping again. It's like wax. Mm-hmm. It's coming back like wax.
Exactly. I mean, even when it comes down to that, y'all know if y'all take a cone paper and just put a little needle by it, and I don't know YouTube the rest, but the whole thing is, it's cool that you could play that.
No rent, no bills.
Yo, dog, real rap. That's all I was looking at when
I got rent due today. So
when I had no kids,
it's the first of them.
Shouts out the bone.
To not have kids and whatnot, when you start to look at all your peers, one of the things I see them more stressed about than anything is taking care of these loving kids. And so I'm looking like, all right, well, maybe that's a blessing. My mom passed away that she did, my dad. Maybe that was a blessing because I can't handle the stuff. Like, I want to, but I was like, nah, I can't fucking, I commend these motherfuckers. And you rap? Go ahead, boy. you do the beat, you rap, and you feed.
I go to school full-time, a full-time job, a hustle on the side. How the hell do I find the time?
Yo, his son and his daughter Scratch. Yo, we about to have a DJ on y'all asses. Young, a little bit young, can't cut the cuss words, but
I know y'all probably gotta go.
Yeah, man.
I'm gonna go ahead and outro this. I'm gonna outro my favorite song, Bomb Shelter's Champion. I basically extracted it off the YouTube, right, off the topic page.
I had to play music, man. Play,
it's got
play
the original song. Cover. Y'all it's won't be able to hear it because it's through the headphones, but
I got speakers.
For square one, 50 ain't scared of yours, prepare to war. Put the air ones to the floor, you're Harrison Ford, you heard of me, using C4 plastic surgery. Rap. Another word for me, manslaughter, third degree, the synonym for killing them. You whack, I prove that, with the Muzak, the Navigate Stella, a groove back. All we expect from niggas is a talking to death. Bitches call me what they want, but they don't call me collect. Gun blazing, not a drug dealer, slum fundraise. Other shit you put in blunt paper, makes your lungs gray. Black Socrates, my philosophy for animosity bees. Cock and squeeze, watch him drop with ease. Pop your knees, guess thinking shit was not your steez. Stop the beat, fuck possibly, this got to be. Disruptive from public to private property. You are from L Street, now I advise you not to sleep. Yo,
raw, raw, face the facts. They not ready to fuck with the champion.
Yo, raw, face the facts. They ain't ready to fuck with the champion.
Yo, raw, face the facts. Ha-ha. They not ready to fuck with the champion.
That's why we raw, face the facts. No escaping that, they're not ready to fuck with the champion.
Hey, yo, my agenda is to find rap pretenders and battlefields, throw your white flags and surrender. Missing body parts, no telling how many was injured. Cause when my unit crashed, we didn't more than just a fender. The monologue I breathe, dramatic soliloquy. Even those with PhDs is definitely feeling me. Without loud speakers, I'm kicking out your fucking tweeters. Then I'm rolling reefer and blunts like gorditas. Pass it off the cannon, you blowing shotguns to Queenie. Get charged, I'm represented by attorney Chuck Sweeney. Them no worry me, come from the North State. With y'all cast us off of their strawberry shortcake. With the wrong ingredients, your squad just don't mix. My squad be ripping shit, hang like the crucifix. Oh man, you're losing it, about to murder yourself. Have you on the phone dialing for emergency help.
And you're on raw, face the facts. They ain't ready to fuck with the champion.
You're on raw, face the facts. They ain't ready to fuck with the champion.
And you're on raw, face the facts. They not ready to fuck with the champion.
Yo, raw, face the facts. No escape from that. They not ready to fuck with the champion.
Aim and blow, I think of why I chase my foes. I makes it so you die without your radio. Murderous flow, my blood type be H2O. No place to go, just let me lacerate your soul. Splitting one joke can get you addicted to gun smoke. Yeah, I'm splitting cutthroats. Ask me if I give a fuck though. Welcome down under where my repertoire says it all. We already tall. The ice on your grilly says it all.
You ain't rocking, shit you popping, never reach the top 10. Take you to the floor with Dougie Fresh Feet boxing. You heard me yet? Step on my turf and get wet. I let you rhyme in my ear while I'm surfing the net. It's never ending. You're the bull with matadors. Then I'm spreading the plague with Germ Lattimore. Who you reppin'? Talents bombshell without weapons. Yeah, right. That's all I need is more skulls in my collection. I'm stepping.
Face the facts. Yeah. They ain't ready to fuck with the champion.
Yo, bro, face the facts. You know. They ain't ready to fuck with the champion.
That's why we raw, face the facts. Yeah. They not ready to fuck with the champion.
Yo, we raw, face the facts. There's no escaping that. They not ready to fuck with the champion.
Champion.